It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. One of the travel highlights for many is the chance to indulge in local cuisine. From Maine lobster to Tex-Mex in Austin, there's no reason why your diet shouldn't take a vacation. Elaine LaBalm, who tweets about food and travel under the Twitter handle New Girl in Town, this week focuses on destination dining, part one. There's so much to talk about. We're doing this in two parts, starting today and continuing into next week. Hi, Elaine.
Hey, how are
you? You have your son, Stephen, with you?
I do. My partner in crime on a lot of these culinary adventures.
I may call on him. We'll see. We'll see if he behaves himself. Well, and because a 13-year-old perspective could be very helpful here. If you're traveling with children.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, you want to take, because we all remember going on vacations with our parents who wanted to do, escargot at a restaurant. And as a kid, you're like, what? Snails? No way.
Although I will say this, we do have this rule in our family that says that you have to try anything once. You don't have to eat it after that if you don't like it, but you need to try it. And so Stephen has internalized that rule, and as a result, he has a very well-developed palate.
Okay, well, Stephen, be ready. Pay attention. And as for you, New Girl, it's food, glorious food. So why does food rate so high when you and many others travel?
Well, I think the thing is that some of your best memories and your best experiences are around food. So you go someplace, you have this incredible meal, you remember it very fondly, the legend grows in your mind, and so you want to either return for that meal or try to top it on your next trip, mm-hmm. vacation, what have you. So the memories that are around food, I find, keep you coming back to your favorite destinations. They certainly do for me. But so often as I talk to people who are researching travels, whether it's, U.S., international, what have you, very high on the list is where they're going to eat when they are there. And they're always saying, well, do you have any good ideas on where I should eat at such and such? Yeah, it's probably the first question that I'm asked. So food definitely matters when you're traveling.
How about when you're on the way there? I mean, especially if you're driving. Remember, years ago on the old highways before the turnpikes came in. And yes, this is before my time. they had like the places that were shaped like a giant hamburger or a giant ice cream cone.
I know. And I wish more of those were around because I bet the food would be pretty darn good. But now I will say that the savior for road travelers, especially today, is Yelp, in that you can just pull up that Yelp app and just say, food, near me or X kind of food, whether it's burgers or barbecue or whatever. And you're going to find some pretty darn good choices. Just look at their top 20. And I mean, really, you look at the top five and read up a bit.
What if you're on the turnpike, though? You're trapped. Some of that stuff isn't too bad, but you're still stuck with these are your choices.
Well, I will tell you, at least personally, I'm going to try for a certain baseline if I feel that trapped. And that is, I'm probably going to look for a Chipotle, probably going to look for a Five Guys Burgers. I'm going to try to stay away from that, Mickey D's or Burger King or Subway just on the side of the road. I'm going to try to get something maybe a little better, find a Panera, a little healthier. I agree. Sometimes on those turnpikes, you are trapped and your choices are minimal. But hey, you're talking to someone who has gone 20 miles off the turnpike to get to just the perfect barbecue place.
You would do that.
I do.
Well,
I
appreciate your humoring me about my pedestrian palate. So now, as I would expect for this topic, you've got a Fab Five. So we'll go from pedestrian fare to fabulous fare. And first up is your go-to meal in our nation's capital.
Oh my, yes. There is a place that I may have been to, 20, 25 times at this point. We go to Washington, D.C. a couple, three times a year. We really enjoy it. And our go-to spot is Jaleo. That's Jaleo. It is a place owned by the chef Jose Andres, who has a number of restaurants in D.C. and environs. And this is Spanish food, largely tapas. So the small plates that you can share.
How about paella?
Oh, they have paella on the menu, absolutely. I got to tell you, I've never had their paella because I love tapas, as they say, tapiando. So having multiple tapas on the plate. And if there's one that is a huge winner, it is a dish called gambas al ajillo. And those are large prawns in a garlic sauce. And Paul, just envision it. The prawns are just, they're sitting in this fabulous puddle of olive oil, sliced garlic,
slightly charred,
crusty bread alongside for you to dip into. that sauce. I never go there without ordering that dish. Number two, and this is Steve-O's favorite, they have these codfish fritters in something of a honey dipping sauce. Is that how you remember
Steven?
It, Steve-O?
Lean into the microphone, son. There you go. So your mom says we're going to do fish, Steven, and you're all in?
Yes.
Why?
I like fish.
Well, those codfish fritters, they just melt in your mouth. They're so tasty, they're so easy to eat. But he inhales the prawns. They also have this dish called tortilla de patatas. It's basically an egg and potato omelet that is just so, it's just a little bit runny and again also just melts in the mouth. There isn't anything that I would get there that I haven't had multiple times. And Paul, they do a happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m., half-price cocktails, half-price on some of the best appetizers, including, if memory serves, all the ones that I've just named.
I may have to leave early.
Well, there you go.
Washington.
Let's
go. Did you say egg and potato?
Omelet. Basically, it's a potato omelet.
That sounds like something
omelet.
Elvis would eat. You know?
It's perfect. It's the size of a small sort of plate, and they cut it four ways.
Size
and
of a plate. I like that.
We fight over it.
Oh, boy.
We La Balms do.
I can see why. Now, all right. Now, a lot of people like to go to Cape Cod, go to the beach. There's always a place that you visit on the eastern end of the Cape.
Oh, my gosh. And this place is called Cream and Cone. K Cream and K Cone, Cream and Cone in West Dennis. And what they specialize in is their scallops, or as my late mother-in-law always used to say, the scallops. They are the size of a golf ball. I kid you not. And then you can get them broiled or fried, and they'll put them in a little basket. But they must pile in like 30, 40, 50 scallops.
You said cream and cone. I'm thinking this is a roadside ice cream
place.
Well,
you are on it.
But they're selling scallops.
It is largely a fish shack. So the takeout.
Wow.
Clams or shrimp or haddock, what have. But they also serve ice cream. And this is a place that's been around, I don't know, something like 60 years. So, it does look like those places you were talking about on the roadside that would have the giant hamburger mm-hmm, on them. It's mm-hmm. got these huge, like, big arches and pillars and whatnot. It's all, whitewashed there at a main intersection in West Dennis. But I have been there, again, also countless times for those scallops. Steve, tell me those scallops aren't all that.
They're all that.
They're all that. They absolutely
were. When did he become so cool? Last year he was 12, he talked. Now he's 13 and everything's,
now he's a man of few words. I don't know. He's a teenager, but he likes to eat.
It doesn't necessarily help you get the girls. I'm just telling you. All right. So, by the way, what about those fried clams at Revere Beach in Boston?
Oh, Revere as in with three syllables, Revere, right? Revere Beach. Oh, the best. Right. Along with Essex and Ipswich, fried clams, best.
We have 2 minutes left. We haven't even covered New Orleans, Miami, and San Francisco. We might have to save some of this for part two, but let's do New Orleans because it's easy to believe that the Big Easy has two must-stop eateries on your list.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of folks will know these, but they do keep you coming back to New Orleans. Café du Monde for the beignets. And beignets are all the rage now. You'll see them on a lot of menus, but I got to tell you, nobody does them better that I have found than Home Base in New Orleans on Jackson Square, open 24/7. They do two things. They do beignets and they do their chicory-laced coffee, and it is perfect. You will go there at 7 in the morning or at 3 a.m. to get those beignets. Let me tell you, they'll fill up a hole in your stomach after a night of imbibing. Central Grocery.
Are you speaking from experience?
No. I've just observed this from others,
of course.
Yeah,
your son is here. We'll talk later. Okay.
The Muffaletta Sandwich at Central Grocery, also close by Jackson Square. This is ham, mortadella, salami, provolone, and Swiss with this olive salad that they make in-house. Chopped olive salad with the pimentos. That is the most perfect sandwich. Again, things that I do not miss when traveling in New Orleans. So, yeah, just, singular. You tell me. Time for any more? Are we throwing everything else in
Miami.
The part, too?
Miami. Can we talk about the definitive Cuban restaurant in Miami? Can you do that in 1 minute?
I can, and it has a French name. Versailles. The Café Versailles in Little Havana. Been around since 1971. The roast pork there also melts in your mouth. They serve it alongside the fried plantains, some white rice, black beans like grandma used to make, a little bit of the yuca, which is the root vegetable, also with a garlic marinade. You can also order the arroz con pollo, which is the classic.
Arroz con pollo. What does that mean?
Yellow rice with chicken. Well, I didn't say yellow, but it's rice with chicken. It's the classic.
It sounds better as
Cuban
arroz
dish.
Con pollo.
Arroz con pollo. But I would certainly order the roast pork. See, you got to go à deux to Versailles so you can have the roast pork and the Arroz con Pollo. It is the definitive Cuban restaurant in Miami, not to be missed.
Our travel correspondent, Elaine LaBaum, talking about food and travel here in part one of her highlights for how to indulge in local cuisine. Part two coming up next Thursday. We'll save San Francisco for that part two of Destination Dining with
Sounds
Elaine LaBaum.
Great.
Thank you, Elaine LaBaum, Stephen LaBaum.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Tomorrow on the program, singer-songwriter Randy Newman joins us. He's performing with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and he'll have interesting conversation for us. He didn't win those Academy Awards and Grammys for nothing. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.